From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more. On today's edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, we present a previously recorded episode of the Hank Unplugged podcast. Hank's guest is Dr. Bob Fu, a former dissident and pastor of an illegal underground church in China, and author of God's Double Agent, the true story of a Chinese Christian's fight for freedom. Here now is Hank Hanegraaff.
And welcome to another edition of the Hank Unplugged podcast. This is a podcast that is committed to bringing to you the most interesting, inspirational, and informative people on the planet, and today will be no exception. In fact, I'm going to be talking to someone who was born a peasant, the son of a beggar, but in time he came to be called a counter-revolutionary. He experienced the indignities of imprisonment under Chinese communism. He eventually escaped to the United States, and he founded a nonprofit organization called China Aid. He has now met with some of the most powerful people on the planet, including the leader of the free world. He's inspirational in that he has given his life to rescuing people from religious persecution. And he's informative in that he not only knows a great deal about what is going on in the world of politics, but he's intimately acquainted with the problem of Christian persecution. And so today, I want to feature someone who is a pastor, a human rights, religious liberties activist, someone who was born in mainland China and was a student leader during the Tiananmen Square demonstrations for freedom and democracy back in 1989. I'm talking about Bob Fu, and delighted, Bob, to have you on Hank Unplugged.
Oh, thank you, Hank. It's an honor to be with you.
I just noticed that you were the winner of the 2020 Wilberforce Award from the Colson Center, and that's an incredible honor.
It is. It's very humbling to receive this, named after my great hero, you know, William Wilberforce, right? And I was really deeply humbled. And of course, in terms of China's freedom, religious freedom, there's a long way to go. So William Wilberforce's spirit, you know, is carried by the Colson Center that will continue to inspire us to continue our fight.
Absolutely. And it's interesting that we are doing this podcast on the anniversary of the Communist Chinese Party's foundation back in July 1, 1921.
Correct. 100 years birthday of this very evil Chinese Communist Party's ruling, and they marked with the Communist Party leader Xi Jinping's, you know, that Tiananmen Square big show talk and proclaiming anybody who messed up with the Communist Party of China, they will be met with a broken head, bleeding blood.
Give us some kind of an idea of how you got started. You were born of peasants. You were born in a rural part of China. Your mother was a beggar. And you have come a long way since then, but give us some kind of an idea of what your life was like in rural China.
Yes, you know, Hank, when the Chinese Communist Party is trying to portray its 100th birthday with a kind of a message of big economy, nuclear weapon, and the nearly 100 million party membership, we should remember that under this Communist Party's rule in the past 70 years in China, at minimum, I mean, this is the most conservative estimate by historians and objective scholars, that between 80 to 90 million Chinese citizens were killed, murdered, one way or another, by political campaigns, one after another, you know, first by Chairman Mao, and then, of course, now by this Chairman Xi Jinping. And my mother was a beggar because that was not her choice. She was married with her ex-husband, with my elder brother and sister, until the 1958, when Communist Party Chairman Mao launched this so-called Great Leap Forward. It's a totally insanity campaign to, you know, basically falsely claiming in within 3 years, China's GDP will catch up with the United Kingdom. Within 5 years, we'll catch up with the United States of America. You know, 50 years later, they're still not catching up with America. But that was the time. They basically used the steel production, you know, iron steel production as the measure for GDP. So the whole nation, under this fanatic rule, basically gave up their ordinary work, especially in the rural areas. Farmers gave up their agriculture work, and everybody starting to make up a steel mill. And the people basically had to give all their anything made of steel, you know, their pot, the spoons, and anything made of steel had to be given back to their Communist Party. To every village has to have a steel mill to manufacture steels. And that's how the whole nation started the three-year so-called Great Starvation instead. So my mother's ex-husband could not really basically afford even a meal. I mean, there is nothing to eat, and there is no place to live. So he begged my mother with my elder brother, elder sister, to just go away from home. So my mother just put my brother on her shoulder and dragging the hands of my elder sister, just walking day after day, month after month, and year after year, village by village, begging food for survival. And my mother ate dirt, ate roots of the tree, and anything, I mean, basically, in order to survive. And that 3 years, at least 20-some million Chinese, I think it's even more, had starved to death. I mean, it's purely caused by the evil ideology, the political campaign of Chairman Mao. So that is what the Chinese peasant's life looked like until she backed into my village, met with my father, and they got married, and I was born. So poverty, not because of natural disaster, it's totally caused by evil ideology of communism. That basically has been plaguing my family, and my mother was infected with this lung disease and no money to heal, and until she died, basically, the freshman year of my college in 1987. And so the Communist Party create a false utopia, I mean, calling for so-called equality and even, you know, this fantasy, you know, there is no equality at all, and never have been, from former Soviet Union to now the current Chinese Communist Party. Even among their own party leadership, rank and files, non-standing committee members in the Communist Party literally are ruling China, and actually only one. The rest of the 8 standing committee member of the Politburo of the Communist Party has to bow to Chairman Xi Jinping now. I mean, then the rest of the 25 so-called Politburo members of the Communist Party serve the Nan. So, or, you know, basically serve among them. So this is a structure very much like the Chinese imperial system, you know, when the emperor rules all. So that's why Xi Jinping got a nickname, Emperor Xi. And he actually successfully removed the constitutional term limit, unlike his two predecessors, who only served two terms, that means 10 years, and he removed that term limit, basically has become president for life right now.
You saw education as a way out of poverty, and as a result of becoming educated, you became a student, obviously, and you were a leader in the Tiananmen Square massacre that took place in 1989. Talk about how you saw an opportunity to try to do something about the massive corruption in the Chinese government.
Don't go away. In just a few moments, we'll rejoin Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Dr. Bob Fu. Tens of millions of Christians live in China today, leading double lives to hide from a government that relentlessly persecutes them. By day, Bob Fu was a teacher in a communist school. By night, he was a preacher in an underground house church network. God's Double Agent tells the edge of your seat true story of Fu's conversion to Christianity, his arrest and imprisonment for starting an illegal house church, his harrowing escape, and his subsequent rise to prominence in the United States as an advocate for his oppressed brethren in China. To receive your copy of God's Double Agent, the true story of a Chinese Christian's fight for freedom, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.
Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is essentially two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God in Christ. Simply put, the map is not the territory. The menu is not the meal. We cheat ourselves of authentic union with Christ when we elevate the message above the Messiah. Truth Matters, Life Matters More is a modern classic and the magnum opus of one of the great theological minds of our time. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More, simply call 888-7000-CRI. and make a gift in support of the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
Let's rejoin Bible Answer Man host Hank Hanegraaff and his guest, Dr. Bob Fu, in their conversation.
Talk about how you saw an opportunity to try to do something about the massive corruption in the Chinese government. And later on, of course, you saw that you had massive corruption yourself as a result of meeting Jesus Christ.
You're right, Hank. I mean, we... Now, in retrospect, knowing that the Lord's way is always higher than our way, His path is higher than our path. And so when I was from high school, basically because of the equality and injustice in my family, I was basically discovering, oh, in Communist Party in China, the best way is to become a Communist Party leader. You know, before you can really carry out your political dream to help others and help your own family. So, but then 1989, during, you know, the students' movement started. At that time, you know, from a real communist, I became a little bit like a humanist, still a kind of a, you know, in order to get promotion in the Communist Party the normal way, I mean, even as a student leader, you know, before the Tiananmen Square movement started, I was serving as the vice president of the Students' Union and in the English department. So I have to really think how to, you know, bribe the party official in the English department in order to prepare a better future. And then, ironically, 1989 happened, the students' movement started. I felt, oh, maybe this is the best time for me to partially build some personal capital for my political future. And partially, I was also really influenced by the Soviet Union, the reformer, you know, the party secretary, Mikhail Gorbachev, and with, you know, his reform and openness slogan, I was attracted because compared to what the Communist Party was doing at the time, we think, oh, you know, this is total corruption. And all their sons and daughters, they are getting rich and had open corruption. And there's less and less freedom. So we basically, you know, went out and I led a group of our students to Tiananmen Square and occupied part of the Tiananmen Square and with the slogan of anti-corruption. And of course, you know, there was some self-righteousness because I thought I'm just a young man. You know, my biggest crime of corruption is, you know, spend $10 buy a piece of expensive cake to bribe my party secretary in the English department. The Communist Party leaders, you know, they are selling cars, they are making a lot of more money. But anyway, we participate in the students' movement, and little did we know or realize this bloody Communist Party would commit a massacre, you know. So I was in the Tiananmen Square until 3 days before the massacre happened, primarily because my then girlfriend, and later on became my wife, and now we are 27 years of marriage already, and Heidi, so she was very sick for drinking unclean water at the square and sent to the hospital, so that spared me from one of the tankmen in the Tiananmen Square during the massacre 32 years ago on June 4th, 1989. So that was the time, basically, you know, it was a massacre. We would have never thought the so-called People's Liberation Army would be sent by the so-called People's Government and to kill its own people. You know, some of my friends, you know, lost both legs were smashed by the tanks and directly striking them. Many were killed, is the word I witnessing, you know, on the TV live. So it was a tragic massacre, but many people was not really able to see that actually in God's providential way, his supernatural purpose actually was after this Tiananmen Square. The massacre actually had served as the single most important moment in history for the redemption of Chinese intellectual souls. I mean, you were talking about hundreds of thousands of Chinese students, professors, and young professionals came to Christ after the massacre. And I myself was one of them. I was regarded as the first generation of Christian in my college, and basically also with the help and influence of our American English teachers who were actually secret missionaries. And it was during that time, yeah, when I was totally kind of disillusioned and even thinking to commit a suicide. And the Lord rescued me, and our missionary American teacher basically handed me a book. It was a biography of a Chinese pastor and telling the story how the missionary from Hudson Taylor's group, China Inland Mission, was sharing the gospel to this Chinese intellectual who was dying at the time because of the addiction for opium in the early 1900s. Anyway, so he got saved, and not only God healed him from opium addiction, but God used him setting up, you know, hundreds of opium prevention centers with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that story deeply touched my life, and basically I surrender my life and accept Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. So that is the story.
I think it's such an interesting juxtaposition between the actual physical Tiananmen Square, where you went because you hoped that there was a possibility that the government could reform, but then you had a spiritual Tiananmen Square moment as well. And you just described that, where Jesus Christ became Lord and Savior of your life, and that changed everything. In fact, you became what is humorously called God's double agent. Because on the one hand, you were teaching English to Communist Chinese Party leaders, and on the other hand, you were training people in the principles of evangelism, church growth, and the transformation of the culture through Christianity.
That's right, Hank. It's like the full display of God's humor. You know, after I finished my graduate school in Beijing, and at that time, our students still had to be assigned a job, you know, within the government. So I got my job as a teacher teaching English in the Chinese Communist Party school in the city of Beijing, the capital city. So during the daytime, I was teaching English to the Communist Party leaders. And during the evening and the weekend, I was as busy as any full-time a pastor, evangelist, riding my bicycle in every corner of the university district in Beijing, different universities, and then set up the underground church and Bible study groups, and later on established an underground training school, training for the Bible, evangelism, and mission preparation, until the Communist Party discovered it and arrested my wife and I by putting us into prison.
And after you got out of prison, you and your wife had the ultimate revenge against the Communist Chinese Party by actually getting pregnant.
That's right. You described it in a way that showing how, I mean, cruel in a sense, the Communist Party basically regard every woman's womb as their government property. From really high school to the age of giving birth, even after giving birth. So the Chinese Communist Party's Family Planning Commission, and then from central government all the way to the village Family Planning Commission, in the name of the family planning, every woman's womb basically has become a state-owned property. They are being constantly inspected. They're subject to monthly and bi-monthly inspection. And the government, if they suspect you are pregnant without permission card, then you will be caught and get a forced abortion. When we talk about the biggest crime in 20th century committed by any political organization, certainly by the Chinese Communist Party, I think this is the one, the forced abortion, forced sterilization, certainly, top the number one. I don't think any other crime even can come to match this one.
We've run out of time for today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Be sure to tune in again next time when we'll continue Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Dr. Bob Fu, a former dissident and pastor of an illegal underground church in China and author of God's Double Agent, the true story of a Chinese Christian's fight for freedom. Our daily commitment here at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. In appreciation for your vital gift to help strengthen and expand CRI's life-changing outreaches, Hank would like to send you the book, God's Double Agent, the true story of a Chinese Christian's fight for freedom. Call a resource consultant at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website, equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters, and life matters more. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the Journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.